Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, 360 Creative Coach, and welcome to my vlog, where it is both my mission and my pleasure to highlight my creative journey in hopes of inspiring you, giving you specific takeaway, all that way your journey can be at least a little bit easier. Now, before I fully dive into everything, I would love to take the opportunity to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. That way you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. Thank you if you just did, and thank you if you already were. It truly does mean a lot to me, as I hope it does to you. So, it's been about a week or two since the last update, and the main thing that has been going on creatively is building up, or rather gearing up towards this film shoot that we've got at the end of April, specifically April 27th. And that film shoot particularly is for this proof of concept for an animated feature that my team and I have been working on. Now, that might sound strange. Wait, you're doing a shoot for an animated film? Well, yes. We're kind of, it's a blend of sort of how Avatar was filmed with, you know, with all the actors in these body suits with the dots and things like that. Rotoscope animation is done in a similar fashion. This isn't rotoscope, but it's we're using actual people to represent those things, and we're gonna, you know, film it, edit it, and that way it gives a good reference point for the animator. So that's what we're doing. So we're about 3 weeks away. We've got two more official production meetings with, you know, everyone there. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you're excited to get to that point. You're kind of nervous to get to that point because, you know, while everything's moving along well, it becomes a big unknown of like, are we overlooking anything? You know, do we have everything that we need? And you do the best you can to prepare, right? It's like anything else in life. And, you know, of course, things will come up that you don't expect, that you couldn't even have prepared for, but you do what you can, right? One of the things that we're hoping not to deal with, but are already thinking about it, if we need to deal with it, is the weather. You know, since the start of the year, LA, Southern California, right, has experienced just rain, right? And even now in April, we think that it's over, but, you know, it'll go from being like 80 and then all of a sudden rain again. And so we're hoping very much that by the end of April, certainly, that at least on those particular days surrounding our shoot, that there is no rain, because our shoot ideally would be outside, so we would have more space at the location we already have, and things of that nature. And I say we don't, like, obviously it would be great not to have it on the day of, right? But we also don't want rain beforehand either, because then the ground will be wet and yada yada, right? So we just want no rain for the couple days leading up to it, and no rain certainly on the day of filming. Now, as I say, you know, it's just a reality. We have to kind of consider these things and, okay, what's alternative if that happens, right? If there is rain, what do we do? And, you know, yes, there's of course solutions. The unfortunate part about it becomes then you're spending more money and things like that, throws a sort of a big wrench, you know, because you're planning to go to one location now, potentially have to go to a completely different place entirely, you know, and that messes up also catering and other stuff. So, you know, it's a lot to consider, but we're, you know, making the best of it in that way. And yeah, you know, what are the things we need on set? Just the usual stuff one might think of when you're doing a film shoot, right? Luckily, it's pared down because we don't need costumes or makeup or things like that. It's all just for reference. We don't need this intricate lighting setup. Like, we literally just need lighting enough so that way we can see what's in the frame, right? It doesn't have to look like a film noir type of shot. It's, as I said, literally just for reference. So in that way, it's been going well. You know, as of right now, we feel confident, you know, and things are being put in place to make sure, yeah, that we have everything. The second aspect of kind of leading up to that film shoot is having everything prepped from a creative standpoint, meaning that for the animation, we want to have as much ready in advance so that way once we're done with the actual filming itself, we can edit it, send it to the animators, and get really going on that process of it, right? And the whole point of filming and then editing it is it actually acts like our animatic, right? This will be, you know, normally you draw storyboards and then create an animatic. And from that, you know, you start to create the animation itself. So this is our version of it. And in advance of completing, quote, the animatic, we want to make sure that we have the various character renderings, you know, the main characters, the background characters, the environments, and so forth. And, you know, that's been quite a lot of work for the past couple of months. You know, every week we get this round of character designs and, you know, we mull over it and decide what do we like, what do we don't like, how can we improve it, things of that nature. And particularly now that we've completed the crowdfund, you know, we did a crowdfund to raise money for this entire phase of the movie. And now that we've raised successfully the money that we did, we are able to now pay our animators to really ramp up. Right beforehand, we were just kind of doing a smaller amount, and also knowing they were kind of withholding payment up until we finished the crowdfund, right? Like, they were always going to get paid. That wasn't the question. It was just, even if the crowdfund was a failure, you know, of course I would pay them, right? But the idea was that we were just kind of slowly working on some stuff, and then once the crowdfund was finished, then the floodgates would open, sort of a thing. And so we're in that stage of it, and it's been really fun to kind of be in it. You know, but like with anything else in life, the hard part is, it's certainly from my core team, not on the animation side, but like the team that I work with here, on the logistics and everything else, it's not our full-time jobs and things like that. So, I imagine certainly, you know, what takes us weeks could take us days, right? If we could have that concentrated effort as part of it. That's not a complaint. It's just reality. And I think too many people, artists, and it doesn't have to be about film, but just in general, this idea that they want to be further ahead, they want things to be faster. That would be nice, but you just have to kind of accept the reality of where you're at creatively, you know? So we don't have the means to not work our day jobs and things of that nature to support ourselves and so forth. So yeah, this has to be a secondary thing, right? In that way, and we make do. And, you know, the fact that we continue to deliver in these various ways is amazing. It's incredible. Also this past weekend, speaking of creative stuff, we had rehearsals, if you will, meaning we did a Zoom call with the various actors that will be in this teaser. Now, a lot of them are playing multiple roles. So we kind of went over the script, and it's very interesting because, you know, it's a proof of concept, but it's not like a short film proof of concept. It's more like a teaser. So the difference is that, you know, a short film itself could be kind of like a scene or a couple of scenes, but for the most part, they tell a little piece of the story, right? Here, you get a sense of, you know, what the movie would be, right? Like a trailer that you would watch at the movies, right? Or online, whatever it may be. Like, that's what we're more creating. And that means that's a lot more scenes, that's a lot shorter scenes, and they're not they're snippets. They're not even scenes, right? And so within each moment, you have to convey an emotion at its peak, right? Whether it's anger, whether it's jealousy, whether it's love, happiness, whatever it is. Like, these are peak moments because, you know, it's a highlight reel of the movie. Except the movie's not made, right? And so it's a very interesting way to sort of approach it in that way. And yeah, it's definitely new territory for me to figure out how to direct people in these moments, right? I mean, we're talking like 1 to 2 seconds, and yet they have to convey the full length and breadth of a character's history within that particular moment and in order to get it right. So yeah, we did that. I thought it was successful in that way. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, and overall, just, you know, whether it's the core team or the animation team or now these actors coming on board, everyone has a level of passion that I truly appreciate and enamored with. And so, yeah, you just kind of, in that way, have to trust the process. And of course, you know, it requires work and preparation in that way. And everyone is professional enough to be able to do that. So I'm looking forward to it in that way. You know, one of the difficult things about just in general with rehearsals, yeah, it's more like an information dump. I try very much not to get too hung up about the performances quite yet in those particular moments because, you know, people are still processing things, you know, and from my experience, the performance comes more in that moment. Like, if the preparation is done correctly, then come the actual shoot day, people will deliver for you. That's been my experience. And that's the way I approach it, because one of the interesting things about it is to, you know, someone had made a comment of like, oh, it's so good to like actually hear someone's voice quality given towards the characters, meaning that for months on end at this point, they've been, you know, reading this script and, you know, it's just words on a page. And so you're assigning your own sort of aspects to it. And even if you see a rendering of a certain character, that can, you know, kind of push you down a certain direction, but you still don't know their vocal quality. And so then to have all these people, you know, be on a Zoom call and just even speaking in their natural day-to-day rhythm, even if they're not like reading the lines, but just us conversing, you're like, oh, okay, wow, okay, yeah, that's what this character sounds like, you know? So that's why I say it is an information dump in that way, and there's a lot to process. So, you know, let people take their time with it. And that's what I try to do. So, yeah, that was one of the big things that we did. And, you know, we did this almost 4 weeks in advance. So, yeah, gives them plenty of time to think about. And, you know, I said, like, whatever questions may arise for you, whatever help you might need from me, let me know. But yeah, it was important. And one of the other things, you know, there's a central relationship within the movie, but also in the teaser itself. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, characters who have very strong relationships, but within the full script, but as far as the teaser itself, not all of that is going to necessarily get highlighted, so it's not important to, you know, fully develop in this particular moment, right? But the central character has, and you know, it's very much part of the plot, a very strong bond with somebody else. And so, you know, the two actors for those roles, I would like very much, and we're scheduling a time, even though both of us, like, the irony is, both of them are essentially vacationing on trips, And it was completely unplanned and stuff like that. I mean, it was planned, obviously, but it's not planned that they would have it at the same time. But it just kind of, to me, I laugh at the synchronicity of it all, where both the actors themselves, you know, think in that way, and timing-wise. I don't know, it just makes me laugh. It's purely coincidence, but at the same time, you know, I just like to assign that hilarity to it. But the point overall being, as far as production, that you know, and mixed scheduling them to be able to meet a little bit more difficult, but we're finding a time to be able to do that. And even if I can't be a part of it, just the act of them hanging out, right? I mean, a lot of times I watch behind the scenes of movies, right? The making ofs, and you know, people, the actors will talk about how, you know, they would go out for coffee and spend time together. Like, just the act of spending time together creates that bond, which then translates on screen. And is it required? Not necessarily, but I think, you know, it does help. And certainly for my money's worth, I like to work with people that I can get along with, and I want the people that I work with to get along with each other. You know, do they have to be best friends afterwards and stuff like that? No, but like, yeah, I want people to have an enjoyable time. And for me, I do think that translates, you know, on screen. So, yeah, we're making that work, and I'm excited for their chemistry to develop, and then for it to shine when we film, right? So that's been fun. And then the sort of last aspect of this has been continuing to revise the script, which, you know, it's been a process. You know, I've been developing the script for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, almost coming up on 2 years. And of course, it's not been a full-time effort, and things of that nature, until, you know, more recently. But even then, obviously, it's not like this is my day job just to write the script. But all the same, you know, it can be a little bit frustrating in that regard. Of like, okay, you know, how do I continue to just elevate it, clarify it, simplify it, heighten it emotionally? And luckily, that's why I've got, you know, members on my team who are fantastic at giving notes, and not just notes, but being solution oriented, where they can pinpoint exactly like what needs to be added, changed, subtracted, whatever it may be, to accommodate those notes. And so, you know, we've essentially been rewriting 10 pages at a time, particularly me and one of the producers. He's an amazing storyteller, John Comerford. But it's just, you know, time's always against you. I mean, literally, so far, just on the first 10 pages, we've spent about 10 hours. I mean, less so, I mean, on the first 10 pages necessarily. Like, we did start to get into the rest of Act One and stuff like that. But, you know, what we'll do is we'll have a Zoom session, we'll go through it, and we'll literally start revising the script as I'm sharing it, you know, via screen share. But then, you know, certain elements you kind of just jot down and write note of, like, okay, I'll address this, and present it back to you, or he'll take some pages and, you know, do what he needs to do with it and send it back to me for essentially approval, you know, and I can use what I want, not use whatever. But we really talk through the story, right? Down to the minutiae of, well, why would this happen, and how does that work, and you know, what's this character feeling? And the 10 hours themselves are strictly just our Zoom session, right? You know, that doesn't count for the time that it takes John to read. That doesn't take the time that John, you know, ends up writing, or I end up writing, or whatever else, thinking about it. So it's an arduous process, you know. It's certainly the hardest thing that I've ever tried to write. It's the most ambitious thing that I've ever tried to write. So it's a lot. Now, part of all of that is, you know, I think it's not just writing. You know, as Stephen King says, those who do not read cannot write. And so, you know, as much as I've been trying to write, I also try to read and things of that nature, take in more stuff, be inspired, and so forth, and just study the genre. And yeah, been just doing the best I can with that. But I know this isn't, this just kind of popped in my mind. I know it's not related particularly in this moment to the writing aspect of it, but just in terms of fleshing out the world, as we design these characters, their look and so forth, one of the interesting things with 2D animation is how lips are drawn, like literally how lips are drawn. You know, usually it's just like thin lines, and then whoever does get more fuller lips is a very particular distinction. And it's certainly not something that you think about as you watch it, but, you know, it just does have this subtle effect on you. And so, you know, where I'm going with that is all these things sort of add up over time, and, you know, one informs the other. You're always thinking about these various things. And if nothing else, you just try to make progress in the best way that you can in all these areas, right? Whether it's the writing and everything else. So yeah, that's kind of the thing. And, you know, taking a step back as far as the shoot, you know, the interesting part is, you know, you want the ability to try certain things because you don't quite know what will work. But at the same time, you don't want to just do too much of everything without at least some North Star, some vision. And so, you know, that's been kind of what I've been thinking about is, okay, definitely what do I want? You know, for example, there's a moment where there's a party scene and it's all sort of, you know, extras. It's not any of the main characters, but what are they like? You know, are they raving or are they much more subdued? Like, what does that look like? What's their movement? And so, yeah, very much in terms of creatively where things are at, we're in those those subtle details. Like, everything's got to be a choice. And even with the characters, now one of the main things that we've been focused on is their main look, right? Their identity of who they are for the most part. But I call it the, you know, we have to give them a summer look, a fall look, a winter look, a spring look. Not literally, but, you know, within any movie, people change their clothes, right? For the need of the movie, right? Sometimes it just designates a new day, whatever it is. Other times, like, it serves particular function, you know, like if they're in a summer climate, obviously they would have much more lighter clothes versus if they go to the tundra, right? And so we're also kind of in that phase of, okay, well, what's the main character's summer wardrobe? What's their fall wardrobe? Again, I use those jokingly, but that's the basic idea. So, yeah, that's been a lot to think about. Like, it's just, you're literally creating a world from scratch, you know? And the same sort of methodology applies to, even if this was live action, right? Lord of the Rings, you know, that's an example of a fantasy movie. Like, luckily they had already a lot of pre-built, pre-rendered descriptions and sketches that they can, you know, pull from. And, you know, we're having to sort of pull our own references and things like that nature that makes sense and fit, and then create off of that. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Two things can be, it's exciting and it's also terrifying at the same time, right? Yeah, man, I love seeing it come together, and I certainly love the level of attention everyone brings to these particular things, right? Because everyone's doing a fantastic job. So that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, just to thread the needle, if you will, the reason I'm working on revising the script, besides the obvious reasons, is because come the day of the shoot, the more of the script that can be polished, so again, another instance of time being against us, but the more that the script can be polished, the clearer things will be in my mind. And not only that, if there's any changes from the script to, you know, that need to be addressed in the teaser, we can do that. And I've talked about this before, not that the teaser itself has to, you know, I mean, it's just, it's just a byproduct. The teaser itself is meant to be a representation of what the movie would be if it was made, right? And I'm sure there's going to be some distinctions and things like that, and that's fine as long as the spirit of it all remains. But to the extent that I can, just my own sanity of it all is, let's make it as close to, if we can, to the version that we have in that particular moment. You know, that's the best any of us could do. And so it's like, that's why, like, let's make sure, you know, so that's why I'm really kind of pushing for the, trying to the extent that we can, getting this draft of the script done, beforehand. Right. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at and why we're doing the things that we're doing. The other thing I wanted to talk about, it's just this idea more and more. This is unrelated to the movie, by the way, but this idea that, in particular podcasts, but it can be applicable to other things, where people see something and they think of it as easy. And the reason I bring up podcasting is because, you know, there's the sort of notion that, oh, everyone has a podcast. And it creates one of two things. Either it drives people away because it's like, oh, well, everyone has a podcast, so why start my own, because there's just not enough room, which is stupid. It's like saying, oh, well, someone's written a book, so why should I write a book? Like, no. You know what I mean? But conversely to that effect, it also makes it seem like, oh, well, if everyone has a podcast, it must be easy. And it's like, no, it's still a skill that you have to develop. It'd be like me saying, like, my friends find me funny, and therefore I can go do stand-up comedy. They are not the same. And I think too many people just approach certain disciplines without that level of respect, and it just creates chaos, you know? Like, I don't know, I'm truly baffled. You know, there's people that I advise, there's people that I work with. So I've, you know, I mean, I've been in podcasting since 2011. So it's been quite a while, and know enough. And that's why people want to work with me, is because I have that skill set, that knowledge, and so forth. And the frustrating thing is, you know, in a consulting session, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to me whether or not, you take the advice, right? Because, okay, I can, you know, it's not going to be mine day to day to manage, but if I'm managing something day to day and I outline, okay, here's how to do it and so forth, it's not that it's the only way or it's the correct way. You know, I'm certainly open to adjustments, but what I'm not open to is nothing. You know, I almost equate it to, let's say I asked, like, what's your favorite color? And the response someone gave would be, I love sushi. It's like, that's what? The two don't compute. And so it's just interesting, you know, for me, I find myself in like, people that I work with in general, I am very much lucky to be in this place where I don't just want to work with anybody for the sake of money. And so whoever I do work with, I want it to be a good experience. I don't care to be, like, I've got enough stuff going on, so I don't care to be stressed out and this and that. And of course, it's already arduous enough. So, it's just kind of interesting in that way when people, even with the best of intentions, it's like, hey, and they just don't know, right? And that'd be one thing, but when you tell them and they sort of push back, that's where it's like, okay, you know what? Come on. And sometimes, you know, in those moments, like the difficult part is you have to practice being honest with them, you know, not in a mean way, not in a cruel way, but just, you know, hey, like essentially this, you know, if we don't do X, Y, and Z, we're setting ourselves up for failure. You're not going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. And it's just not going to be a good experience for anybody. So I'm sort of in the midst of that, on a particular thing, but, yeah, we'll see, you know, cause the fact of the matter is, you know, this is a team that I've started talking with over 3 months ago at this point, something like that, you know, and in theory, we're coming up on a launch. And it's like, we don't have any of the assets. And it's not my, you know, it's not my fault. like the interesting part is, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes people, like, I'm just always amazed at people and what they think and so forth. You know, I mean, the world would be just swimmingly if it wasn't for other people, right? And I'm sure people. Like, that's the irony. I understand that people could very much sit here like this and have their own thoughts and be like, okay, here's what Phil does wrong. Here's my, you know, my complaints about Phil and yada, 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 right? So I understand that. But yeah, it's just, sometimes it's just baffling on a number of ways, you know? For example, if there's an there's an intro that we created, and all I get, you know, I'm not a part of the recording, and you know, all I receive is like one take, let's say, right? So then it's like, okay, well, there's no creative choice for me to make. I get what I get, right? And this is what you want me to use, so okay, great. And then. You know, to get a response back of like, the host sounds unenthusiastic. It's like, I had nothing to do with that. I like, and also too, what is there for me to act upon? You know, I was talking with a friend yesterday and he was like, well, maybe they want you to add bells and whistles and try to like distract from it and this and that. I'm like, okay, that's an actionable step, you know? And even if they don't necessarily know that, it's like, hey, the host sounds unenthusiastic. What can we do about that? And it's like, okay, well, I can't necessarily change the tone of their voice, you know? Like, I think part of it is people think with AI tools that anything's possible and that, like, all these things just whatever. You know, it's also why I get, like, you know, I got this, like, intro one time for something and there was a gardener and construction and this and that. And they're like, hey, can you use this? I'm like, no, I can't, like, yeah, I can use it. But it's going to sound like there's construction and a gardener, you know, and it's going to sound terrible. So, you know, maybe it's a bad trend because same sort of thing. Like I see it with film and AI where these people who don't really want to be filmmakers just want to use AI as this like shortcut to just essentially become Christopher Nolan's or something like that, where they got the glory and the money, let's say, without having to do with any of the work. And none of this, like, no, you still have to inherently want to make a movie, and then these tools, whatever it is, you know, whether it's AI or not, are at your disposal to try to bring your vision to life. But to just bypass creativity altogether, like, Yeah, I don't know. And that's why when I talk about like podcasts, some people have that of like, oh, I need a podcast. And it's like, okay, but it takes work, right? It doesn't just, oh, okay, let's whatever. You can have a podcast and go. It's time and effort on everyone's part, whether it's a large team or a small team. So yeah, I guess that's the frustration perhaps that people just underestimate how much something takes. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, I can't be the solution, you know, short of me actually hosting the episode. So right now we technically don't even have an episode, to air. So it's like, it just does not compute on a number of levels. So, and yet you'd be surprised how much people push back of like, what do you mean? It's like, what do I mean? Like, it's plain and simple. If you don't have something, you can't put it out. Which, you know, ironically ties back to all of, you know, the planning we're doing for the shoot. It's like, we want to be as prepared as possible. So that way we don't find ourselves in a conundrum, right? Anyway, thank you for letting me vent, albeit in nebulous terms, trying to be specific without giving away too much detail to, you know, who it may be and stuff like that. I'll keep you updated on how that goes, but it's just all interesting. And I don't think it's bad, you know, just to finish that point, you know, I'm going to have a talk with, you know, this team and stuff like that. And, I think there's a path forward, sure, but I do want to make it clear that in order for that path to work, we've got to really, they've got to really step up on their end. Otherwise, it will be a crapshoot, and it is not something I'm interested in, and my generosity has been taken advantage of in the past, and it's just not going to happen, you know? I've got too much going on. I always say, like, in many ways, I'm like a Swiss watch. Like, I have to be very precise, and it even bugs me even this week on something separate. We were supposed to have a Zoom at whatever, let's say 11 a.m., but the person's, you know, shows up at 11:10, and you know we were supposed to wrap by noon, but now we're going and it's 12:27. Like that literally throws off my schedule. And I don't know, to me, it's a big sign of disrespect because time's the one commodity that it just is irreplaceable, right? And so I do get upset by those things. Just a little window into my worldview and stuff like that. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to tune in. Please comment down below with any thoughts or questions you may have. And by the way, it could be about anything that I talked about or anything that you may want to talk about, you know. I'm happy to try to address it in a future episode or answer directly in the comment section if it's short enough, if it's, you know, direct enough, whatever makes the most sense. Or as always, you can also hit me up on social media @PhilSvitek. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I'll see you next time.